Of course, most people are unaware of all this, and for them, the karmic cycle continues spontaneously. Right here and now, we are surrounded by an infinity of planes. If you could shift your awareness into a higher frequency, you could be with the angels this very moment. In the field of infinite possibilities, you exist on all these levels at the same time, but at the level of experience, you exist in only one. According to some Indian teachings, we all yearn for these other planes so much that we travel to them at night in our sleep. Then the astral body actually leaves the physical body, remaining attached by a filament that brings it back again. If the filament gets severed, the way back is lost. It is also dangerous to flirt with the lower astral planes if you don't understand them. However, once you truly realize that the whole scheme of worlds is imagined by spirit, from the lowest level to the highest, from demons to angels, there can be nothing dangerous about creation. In this overview, I have tried to immerse you in the world I found myself in 60 years ago. This was the Vedic perspective as I understood it. It was a vast spiritual ocean, and in typically Indian fashion, you were invited to dip your cup in and take as little or as much as you wanted. It's nearly impossible for a society to embrace infinity, and India is no exception. People remain as troubled there about death and dying as do people here. But there are those who have turned their backs on the ocean of knowledge that laps at their feet. In the West, we have our own version of this phenomenon. We deny that anyone could know what lies beyond death, which conveniently closes the door on our anxiety for a time. Or we say that spiritual knowledge is all relative. All that matters is faith, not the thing you have faith in. Or we may narrow spirituality to the exclusive province of one religion and regard any contradiction to its dogmas with hostility. It is these limitations that this audiobook strives to overcome. Ultimately, the question, what happens after we die, comes down to what happens after I die. The issue becomes personal, emotional, and inescapable. If a devout Muslim landed in a Christian heaven or vice versa, he'd be very unhappy. Eternity wouldn't meet with his expectations. I was fortunate as a boy because the simple scheme I was presented with, and which I've elaborated on in this overview, allows for every soul to find the home to which it belongs. What has also remained with me are certain themes that will figure prominently in this audiobook. The afterlife is a place of newfound clarity. The afterlife isn't static. We continue to evolve and grow after we die. Choice doesn't end with death, it expands. Earthly images carry us into the afterlife. We see what our culture has conditioned us to see. But then the soul makes creative leaps that open new worlds. I set out to see how credible these premises are, since they go far beyond the Christian story of heaven and hell that most children learn in the West. But the greatest gift of the rich heritage I was born into is its fluidity. An old culture makes room for love and death together, not as enemies, but as entwined aspects of one life. The great Bengali poet Rabindranath Tagore wrote, "The night kissed the fading day with a whisper. I'm death, your mother. From me you will get new birth." The afterlife I grew up with is open-ended, like life itself. The spiritual wisdom of that worldview has stuck with me for decades, modified by experience and reflection. The only conception of death that makes sense to me must allow us the freedom to experience everything. Now I hope to give listeners a chance for freedom, here and in every world to come.